Morning.
Good morning.
Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 10. In John 10, our text begins in verse 19, where we read that there was a division, therefore again, among the Jews for these sayings. The people were divided over Christ, what they thought of Christ, who they thought this Jesus of Nazareth is. And this is a theme which has come up multiple times in the book of John, in the Gospel of John. In chapter 7, we read that there is a division among the people, there in verse 43, and then in chapter 9, in verse 16, at the end, it says there was a division among the people. And here in 19, it says again in John 10, there was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. And the saying is what our Lord said at the end of verse 18, where he said, "This commandment have I received of my Father." And so the Jews were divided once again over what our Lord said. And what that tells us is that they were hearing, they were listening to what he was saying, and they had a certain understanding. They had no spiritual understanding. They didn't believe what he was saying, but they understood him to be making himself to be one with the Father, and to declare that he is the Christ sent of God to save his people. And if you look down at verse 30, in John 10, verse 30, he said, "I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. So they heard what he was saying. They were listening, but they didn't believe him. They didn't believe that he is the Christ sent of God. In fact, we read in verses 20 and 21 that what they were saying in the group of themselves, some said, "He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him?" Others said, "These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?" They had seen demoniacs, those possessed with devils, and those that were lunatic, and they heard what they said, and they said, "This man's not only coherent, but he's doing miracles and giving God the glory for the things which he's doing." And so they heard him and said, "Well, never any man spoke like this man. We've never heard anyone speak like this before or do the things that he's doing." And what we see here is that the coming of our Lord reveals the heart of man. It reveals what's in our natural hearts, the enmity that's in our hearts and our minds against the true and living God. It shows that we don't hear God, that we're not believing what our God has said to us in his word concerning his Christ. And so the coming of our Lord reveals that the carnal mind is enmity against God. Paul said it to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 18 and 19. He said, "First of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you." And so it is that the preaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the preaching of our Savior, reveals a savor in them that hear the word of God. To some it's a savor of life unto life, to others it's a savor of death unto death. And it's the Spirit of God that reveals who they are that believe him and who they are that will not hear him, that will not believe the true and living God. Now, we're told in verse 22 that it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And that tells us that this feast that they were there celebrating is likely what we call Hanukkah, the Festival of Lights, which came about during the time of the Maccabees, about 200 years before this time here where Christ is in the temple. And verse 23 says that Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. And he was there likely because it had an enclosure that would have protected them from the elements and the cold. And so he likely was there in that place to get out of the cold and out of the harsh weather that would have been at that time, it being winter. And we read then in verse 24, it was in this place, then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Now, everything Christ said up to this point and everything Christ did, they're saying was not enough to convince them of who he is. They're saying, you're not speaking plainly to us. And some say that the reason they were trying to provoke Christ to tell them plainly was so that they could go to the Roman government and have him persecuted, have him arrested for being against Caesar. And I don't know, it doesn't say that that's the reason necessarily, but what stands out to me is they did hear. Christ did speak plainly to the people, and they did see, they saw the works, and yet they didn't believe. They wouldn't hear him, and they didn't believe what they saw, which was given to them as a testimony from God the Father, that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of my people scattered throughout the world. Now in verse 25, our Lord answered them, saying, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. And so our Lord always spoke the truth. He always declared the truth. And some would hear him, and some would not hear him. And I want to look with you today with what the Lord told the Jews to this point, and what he showed them, largely from the book of John. And the question is put to us this day. Oftentimes, you know, we read the scriptures and we look at the people who are hearing Christ and seeing these miracles, and we judge them. We look at them and say, how is it that they couldn't hear that this is Christ? How is it that they could see these miracles and not believe that this is Christ? And so we make a judgment about the Jews as though that's what the Lord is giving us this word for, as though we're to make some judgment on this story of these Jews in Christ's day. But the word comes to us. It's a judgment about us. Do we believe the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we believe that he is the Christ sent of God? Do we believe that he is the one who takes away the sin of his people? He was sent of God here to this earth to put away our sins, and that he accomplished that. Do we believe it? Do we believe that this is the Christ of God, that he is the Lamb of God sent to take away the sin of the world, the sin of his people scattered throughout the world? And he said there in verse 26, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And so we see here plainly that God's sheep, and those are the people of God, the people of God are the sheep of God, and his sheep hear the voice of God's Christ, of his Savior, of his salvation. They hear Christ, and they believe him, and they follow him, and are led of the Lord. So do you believe Christ? Is this Jesus of Nazareth the Son of God, the Christ sent to take away sin? Are you a sinner? Do you need salvation? Or is it that you can save yourselves, and you can come to God some other way? You either believe Christ, just as his disciples believed Christ, or just like these Jews, you don't believe him, and as our Lord said, you will die in your sins, because there is no salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. So how is it with you? Do you hear his voice? And that's the title of our message. Do you hear his voice? Because Christ said, my sheep hear my voice. So let's look now at verses 24 and 25. Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. And so either the words that he said, or the works were sufficient for them. They didn't believe who Christ is and what he was saying to them concerning himself. Now Peter, this is important because Peter spoke of the word and spoke of the works and declared, we're witnesses of these things. When he went to preach Christ crucified to Cornelius, the Gentile, he said in Acts 10, verse 36 through 38, he said, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. He's declaring there that Christ is the Word come in the flesh. He's the Word of God, declaring to us that Christ is the Lord. He's sent of God. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God, now here's the works, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And so our God has given testimony. He's given us the testimony that this is the Christ by his word and by the works which are declared here in his word to be a witness unto us that this is the Christ. Do you hear him? Or do you believe? Or do you not hear? Do you not believe? So first, what did Christ say to the people? Did he reveal that he is the Christ? And the answer is yes, he did. In fact, there's a couple times recorded in the scriptures where he says plainly that he is the Christ. When he was speaking to the woman at the well, he said to her in John 4:26, he said, I that speak unto thee am he. I am the Messiah, whom you say shall come, I am he, that one that you're expecting. I who speak to you am the Messiah. And then in John 9:37, after he had healed the blind man, and the blind man asked, do you believe on the Son of God? And he said, well, who is he, Lord, that I may believe? And then he said to him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. So he revealed that he is the Son of God, and that he is the Christ sent of God to the people. Now turn over to John chapter 5. Most of the scriptures here, we'll just look in John, the Gospel of John. So John chapter 5, verse 27. Here he declares, he's speaking to the Jews. He's speaking publicly, out in the open to them. And he's declaring that he who is the Son of God is the Son of Man. Meaning he is the mediator, the one whom God sent to mediate between God and men, between God and his people, to reconcile us unto God. So verse 27, and the Father hath given Christ authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. And so he's declaring that the Christ who should come has the authority, has the power to give life to whomsoever he will. And when he speaks, those whom he will save, they hear his voice, and they believe. They believe him. Faith is born in them by the work of God, so that they hear the word and they believe. It says in John 5:24, look at verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So when Christ speaks, his people hear him, just as he said. And he's declared this to the Jews back there in John 5. And they were struggling. The people who heard him were struggling with what he spoke, with what he said. And so he tells them and assures them that he is the one whom Moses wrote of. He's the one whom Moses spoke of and wrote of in the word, that the children of Israel were to hear him. He says in John 5, verse 46, he said, for had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. And so here these Jews are, who claim to be staunch believers of what Moses wrote, of what Moses taught, that they followed him and believed him. He's showing there that if you did believe Moses, if you did follow Moses, you would hear me. And you would believe me. You would believe that I am the Christ, that I am the one sent of God. Because Moses wrote of me. He spoke of me. In other words, you that look to the law, when you look to the law, if you hear what the law says, you know I'm the sinner. I'm the lawbreaker. I need salvation because I cannot save myself, but God has provided his Lamb to bear the sins away of his people, to put away our debt, to make us righteous and accepted with the Father. I need him. Those who hear what the law says know that by the law we're condemned. Because even if I do my best to keep the law as best as I can, yet failing in one part, I now am subject to the curses of the law. And because we're a lawbreaker, even if we only break into one spot, we've broken the whole thing and become subject to the curses of the law. We need salvation. We're sinners. We're sinners condemned by our own works and our own unbelief and our own rebellion against God. Now in John chapter 5, verse 47, he said, if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? And so, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot be saved. And by his Spirit, he makes us to hear his word. He makes us to see our need of him, and that in him, and him alone, is all the sufficiency that the sinner needs to stand before God, accepted of him. Then our Lord, over in John 6:51, he declares plainly to the Jews, to the people, that he is the bread of life. He is our very sustenance. He is that bread from heaven whereby the new man feeds upon him and lives by his grace and power. John 6:51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. That is, for Jew and Gentile, who are the chosen people of God, he gives his life for them. He gives his life for them. And so, what we understand and what our Lord is saying here is that he is the strength, he is the nourishment, he is the comforting food that is given of God to the people, his people, whereby we know him. And we know him because the Spirit is given. The very down payment, the earnest of our inheritance, that we are the Lord's people, who are trusting him and looking to him. The Spirit is given whereby we are born of the seed of Christ. We are born again, regenerated, born anew, and the food that we hunger for, the drink that we thirst for, is the Lord Jesus Christ. We're born of his seed. Right? We've all been born of Adam's corrupted seed, which has no spiritual life and has no strength to work righteousness for ourselves. But we're dead to the things of God, but being born of the Spirit of God by the seed of Christ, that's how we hear him and know him and believe on him. And so our Lord is the living bread. Then also he says over in John chapter 8, look at John 8, and we'll see in verse 12, he declares that he's the one by whom we have knowledge of God. He's the reason we have any understanding and knowledge of him, because he came in the flesh and declared the Father, declared the truth of God, declared the truth of who we are and who he is, and declared that he is all sufficiency for the people. He said in verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So that those who are born of the Spirit, they will hear Christ, and they follow him. And following him, we won't be left in darkness and ignorant of the things of God. We'll know the true and living God, and we'll know and believe that, yes, I am the sinner who needs his salvation. I need the blood of Christ to wash me of my sins. And apart from him, we'll die in our sins. Look at verse 24. John 8, 24. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And so this is not an indifferent kind of thing. Christ is either all or he's nothing. He's not just a component, just a part of our salvation, just a tool that we use to help ourselves improve a little bit before our God. He's all of salvation. He's everything that the sinner needs to stand before God righteous and accepted of him. And apart from him, we will die in our sins. So these words which Christ spoke were hard for the flesh. They were impossible to the flesh. They offend the flesh. They offend the pride and the arrogance and the confidence of man, because he thinks he knows something. We think that we're something, that we've acquired some knowledge, acquired some righteousness, acquired some standing with God. But what Christ says is, we're nothing, and he's everything. And without him, we have no light, no salvation, no standing with our God. And so hearing him and being offended, they continued in their unbelief, thinking that they could come unto the Father through some other way, either by their works, by the law, by their studying of the scriptures, by their tradition, which they received from their fathers. But he declares to them that he is the sum and substance of all that the Father declares in his word, that these things spoke of him, of him. Look at John chapter 5, verse 39. John 5, 39, our Lord said, search the scriptures. Those which you're trusting in, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And so that which man trusts in to come to God by his studying and understanding of the word, it's speaking of Christ. It's pointing us to Christ. If you're understanding it rightly, you understand that nothing you do is righteous. Whatsoever is not done in faith is sin. Even if it has the appearance of good works, if it's not done in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's sin and offensive to God. Instead, we read of Christ in Romans 3, 24 and 25, that we're justified freely by the grace of our God through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, through the purchase of his people by his own precious blood. That's how we're justified. That's how we're washed free and clean of our sin, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, so that all the sin of the people which was put away, it's all been put away by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And apart from him, no sin is put away. So having heard these things, some believed and some did not believe. Now then, what are the works? We won't spend as much time because there's actually a nice summary of the works of what Christ accomplished. Peter spoke of these when he was talking to Cornelius, saying, we're witnesses of all things, all the works which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Now the summary I want to show you is in Luke chapter 7. Go to Luke chapter 7. And in verse 19, it's speaking of John the Baptist, who's in prison, who's soon to lose his head. He's going to be beheaded. He's going to die soon. And John calls unto him two of his disciples and sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Now, John knew that this Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ. He declared him. He pointed him out, the one among the crowd of many. He pointed him out, saying, this is the, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. He knew that this is very Christ. This is the Savior. He knew it, but and he's going to die soon. But he has disciples whom God gave to him to minister to him. And they followed and helped and supported John. And because he's about to die, he wants to make sure that his disciples know who the Savior is. Who the Savior is. So he sends them to ask, are you the one? Are you the Christ that should come? Or do we look for another? Now, verse 20. When the men were come unto Jesus, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour, Christ cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits. And unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way, and tell John what things ye have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And so they saw the works of Christ. And these works were done throughout the land of Judea and in the land of Samaria and up around Galilee. These works were performed, testifying that this is the Christ. You know, even early in the ministry, Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, came to Christ in John 3, verse 2, saying, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles except God hath sent him. So they heard what Christ said. They saw the works of Christ and knew this is the Christ sent of God. And again, we're not judging the Jews and whether they believed or not. The question is, do I believe? Is he the Christ? Do I need the salvation that God has provided in his Christ for his people? Or am I somehow different and better than all the other people? Am I the sinner? Do I need him? And that's really what we're looking at here. Christ said to the Jews back in John 10, verse 25 through 27, he answered them and said, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So who is it that hears Christ? Who is that one that hears the voice of Christ? The one that hears Christ is a sinner. They are the sinner. They're the ones who are guilty of breaking God's law. They're guilty and condemned because they don't work righteousness. We've rebelled against God. And that sinner knows that they're a sinner. And they know that Christ, in Christ alone, is the salvation whom God has provided. So that one who hears is a sinner, is in need of his grace. Do you need the grace of God, which he's provided freely in his Son? Or are you righteous and have some other way that you're going to try and come to God, like these Jews who died in their sins because they thought themselves to be something when they were nothing? Our Lord tells us in his word that those who believe him, those who trust him, those who commit everything to him, knowing that he is all their righteousness and acceptance with God, he declares to us that we shall never be ashamed. Meaning we're not going to get up there, standing before the throne of God in that judgment day, only to find ourselves standing there naked and without a righteousness because we trusted Christ. Oh no, you that trust him will find yourselves completely robed in the beautiful wedding garment of the bride of Christ. In that white, righteous, pure, spotless garment obtained for us and put upon us by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ for those whom he loves. And so he does that. You that hear him know yourselves to be the sinner. And you believe him, you trust him, and you look to him. That's how you know that you're hearing Christ. Because you're the sinner, and he's all sufficiency. But you who are indifferent to it or think you have some other way of righteousness, you don't hear him, and you don't believe him. It's really that simple. And so I'll leave you with this. This is the confidence of the believer. It's what Peter said to Cornelius in Acts 10:43. When he said, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth on him shall receive remission or forgiveness of sins. So I pray the Lord bless that word to your hearing and that you trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.